Well, for about the last month, the US has been dealing with what the country's president has described as an urgent humanitarian crisis on its border with Mexico. The crisis in question is the flow of unaccompanied minors from Central America who've overwhelmed the border police's processing facilities. It's projected that almost 100,000 will arrive this year alone. The children face extremely dangerous situations en route through Mexico, and Christopher Sherman of the Associated Press has been telling me about the stories he heard in the Mexican border city of Reynosa, where many of the young illegal migrants prepare to make the final leg of their arduous journey.
What they describe in general are experiences in their home countries, primarily Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, where gang violence is pervasive. They fear for their lives. They do not see a future for themselves in those countries. What we've heard parents describe is a choice that I don't think any parent would have to make, but at some point they come to the conclusion that if they let their child remain in their home country, that their death is certain, and that by letting them make, even though it's an extremely risky journey to the north to arrive in the United States, that the chances of their survival and prospering is much greater than if they allow them to stay at home.
And when you say they're taking a great risk, what kind of things are they encountering on their way to the U.S.?
Besides just the distance itself, which would be significant for anyone, much less a child traveling on his or her own, Mexico is a dangerous place for immigrants. There are criminal gangs, the drug cartels, that try to exploit them to get money, not only for them to make it to the U.S., but gangs rob them along the way. Women face sexual assault. Many of them who do not have money for buses ride a freight train through central Mexico, which is also dangerous. People have lost limbs riding and falling from that train.
And what kind of an age range are you talking about here?
Oh, we've seen toddlers, you know, children still in diapers, up through teenagers, a lot of young mothers carrying children, still in, you know, baby carriers on their chests. Carrying bottles, you know, we've seen little diaper bags with bottles of milk or formula left on the side of dirt roads where they've been picked up by border patrols. So it's really all ages, and U.S. officials have noted that in the past year especially, they're seeing more females and a younger age range, you know, under the age of 13. Though the majority of them still remain, you know, between ages 13 and 17.
And just to be clear, when you're talking about toddlers and younger children, are they being brought to the U.S. or attempted to be brought to the U.S. by older children, older teenagers?
In some cases, they're traveling with their mothers, who in many cases are teenagers themselves. In some cases, their parent is in the U.S. and they've paid a smuggler to bring the child up through Mexico and get them into the country. And they just know that, okay, my child will be taken into custody by U.S. authorities. They will be held for a relatively short period of time, and then they'll be able to continue on their journey to their destination in the U.S. So, you know, the details of the legal situation, that in fact all of these children still remain in deportation proceedings, seems to be lost in that communication somewhere.
What does happen to them, and how do you deport children if you don't know where they came from?
Well, that's the job of our Health and Human Services Department. Once the children are taken into custody by Border Patrol, and right now I'm speaking only of the unaccompanied children who arrive without a parent or guardian, the Border Patrol has 72 hours to turn them over to the Health and Human Services Department, which places them in shelters that are designed for children. You know, they have educational opportunities there, recreation. It's not like the Border Patrol stations, where that's where we really had the problem in June and July. So once they're turned over to the Health and Human Services Department, that agency immediately begins looking for their parents. And many of these children arrive with contact information. You know, sometimes they write the phone number of a relative inside their belt. when they get here, they often do have some sort of contact to make.
But presumably some of the contacts these children would have in the United States would be themselves illegal and unwilling to come forward to the authorities if called.
That is an issue. ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, is the component within Health and Human Services Department that processes these children and reunites them with family members. And they let it be known to those family members that they will not be trying to trap them for immigration purposes.
Finally then, what has the political reaction been? Because we've seen in successive election campaigns that immigration, particularly in states bordering Mexico, that this has been somewhat of a divisive, if not toxic, issue.
It continues to be extremely divisive. The political division remains where you see Republicans pressuring the administration to find a way to deport these children faster. You know, they say treat them humanely while they are here, but the best that we can do is try to keep them from embarking on the trip to begin with, and if they do arrive, to return them to their countries faster. Democrats on the other side, including the president, are requesting funding for additional immigration judges, for more detention space for families, so that we can better process and handle the flow. But they are raising concerns about any efforts to short the system and return and deport these children more quickly to countries that are recognized as being some of the most dangerous in the world.
And that was Christopher Sherman of the Associated Press.